What if you were born with a disease that you always knew would kill you? And then what if all of a sudden you were given a second chance? Well, that's exactly what happened to me. And it's the question that we explore on the new podcast series, Breathless, from Snack Labs. Join me, Jeremy Saunders, for a series that explores what it means to live and die, to love and to lose, and what it's like to have your whole life turned upside down and the unexpected challenges that come with a life-saving drug. You can listen to Breathless now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey Sharks, my name is Kyle Moore, and I'm seeking the equivalent of 1 month's rent for my one-bedroom, 500-square-foot apartment in Halifax, Nova Scotia, $4,300, for a 100% equity stake in my anxiety. I first began working on anxiety back in childhood, and what started out as a simple hobby has turned into a lifelong commitment. Now I know you might be asking yourself, well why, Kyle, why do I need this? Well, my question to you is, why miss out? 1 in 10 Canadians have already tried this product, and boy, is it something. What I'm offering you today, Sharks, is the chance to get in on the ground floor. Is this a growing market? Well, you tell me. Since the start of the global pandemic, sales have soared, a 25% increase in revenue since 2020. Sharks, are you tired of having nothing on your mind before work calls? Finding things a bit too chill in your relationships? Want to think you're preparing yourself for unspeakable horrors only for things not to happen, but you still end up with the trauma like they did? Me too. So Sharks, the question isn't, are you in? It's why wouldn't you be? Seriously, I want to know. I feel like I got up here and I'm not getting a great vibe. I feel like you don't like me. And now that I'm saying things out loud, I feel like that ruined the chances.
It's a wreck.
G'day everyone, I'm Kyle Moore. Welcome back to The Wreck. This is the podcast where we celebrate a world more mental and destigmatize all things mental health through sharing stories, experiences, sitting down and just having a good old authentic chat. If you want more Life's a Wreck content, head on over to our YouTube channel and follow us on Instagram at Life's a Wreck Podcast. I hope you're all doing well since the last episode of Life's a Wreck. I know I've been sitting with Max's lessons, the lessons that he imparted to us as a community about identity and failure being this building block for success, failing forward, learning from times of trials and tribulations. And so much of what Max talked about in the last episode has been sticking with me because of the work that I do on the day-to-day working with youth entrepreneurs. And that entrepreneurial journey, I found everything that Max talked about is so quickly and easily related to the world of entrepreneurship, because so many of the most amazing, whether it's products or ventures or entrepreneurs out there, they have failed 1,000 times, and the lessons learned from those failures are what have made them spectacular. It's that process of getting knocked down, standing back up, dusting yourself off, realizing what could have been done differently, implementing that practice and taking another step forward, and in doing so with confidence in oneself and in the journey that's led up to this point. And so I really was inspired to revisit this conversation surrounding wellness and mental health and entrepreneurship and success. And I thought that even though this is a conversation that we've explored before, all of these new experiences that I've had, you know, I wanted to revisit the conversation, and I truly couldn't think of anyone better to share this conversation with than with someone who I think beautifully, like, chef's kiss, exemplifies how wellness can and should be incorporated into entrepreneurial success. Somebody that truly celebrates the power of the individual and exemplifies authenticity in everything that he does. If you know who I'm talking about, you know that this guy is about his face value. What you see is what you get. The amazing Jake Carles. Jake is an entrepreneur, a hype man, dancing machine, co-founder of the functional chocolate bar that's taken on the big guy's midday squares. Jake's passion for people has inspired audiences around the world to build through authenticity. He's been recognized on the annual Forbes 30 Under 30 list, was an EY Entrepreneur of the Year finalist, and rocks the absolute hell out of a pair of shades. Jake, without further ado, welcome to the podcast. How you doing?
Yeah, dude. So feeling fired up, you know, in the sense of I just got married. Business is actually going really well right now for Midday Squares, my company. But I'm still dealing with like an injury physically that has taken a huge toll mentally on me because it's made me not immobile. I'm not able to do the things right now that I want to do, like play sports, workout. I'm dealing with this consistent injury that's been six months lingering. So I'm exhausted. I'm mentally drained and exhausted from it because I'm still trying to live my life and do other stuff, but it seems not be getting that much better. It's moving forward, but it's just like I'm getting impatient, you know? So that's why I have this. I was just like doing some like releases before, but like nice. This is an everyday thing that I deal with. And I don't know. It's just injuries suck. And
yeah.
Getting through it, but it's tough.
Yeah. How's the mental component been of the recovery process? Because the physical thing is one thing. You can sit there, you can do the exercise, whatever. But like, and especially I can only imagine for you, somebody who's on the go using their body, I feel like the mental component of that would be, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, I would feel for me, it would be almost more difficult than the physical.
Yeah, dude, there's moments of the day that I feel like breaking down, crying, in the sense that I feel like, is this the rest of my life? And yeah, I kind of right. That weird path of like, is this what I'm gonna have to do all the time? When is it gonna just be like, okay, like we're getting there. Like we're actually like I'm able to do what I got to do again, or is it just never gonna come? And I kind of go through that, like quite that like small mental thing. And then I bounce back and I'm like, no, I'm working through this. I'm progressing. I'm executing. I'm forward moving. I'm creating more momentum. And then I feel good for a bit. And then eventually it comes back. Like when I watch people go play sports and having fun, I'm like, I wish I could do that right now,
right,
but
yeah,
I probably can, but it might not be the best scenario for me. That's what kills me. That's what kills me. I know it's not great. But I look at it like this now. It's like, you know, I'm 29 turning 30 in a month. I have a whole life ahead of me. So if I want to be
Absolutely.
Good, in my life, I could take a couple months to take care of myself.
Yeah.
And So that's what I'm going through, man. That's the truth right now.
Is it the not being able to show up as what you know you can give at 100%? Is that kind of part of it?
Yeah, like dude, I speak around the world and I fire people up, and like I had to like kind of like change a little bit of the persona of who I am because I can't go get everyone dancing the way I want to. I could do like small things like claps, like shake a little bit, but yeah. I can't go just like. I can't just go be myself without consciously knowing that this might hurt me more. Right. So that's where I'm getting smoked mentally is like, shit, I have to deliver it in a different way and find my new authenticity and be okay with that until maybe things will change or that will become my new authenticity forever. Right. I think that that's what's hard on me right now, but I'm working through it. I really think that I've come a long way. I went through episodic stuff of like literally feeling really depressed like daily to then now feeling like way better more often.
Good.
And living my life, trying to live my life to the fullest right now.
Mm-hmm. You talked to, so there's so many different elements that you talked about there that I would love to touch on in terms of like the bounce back, authenticity, you know, showing up for yourself and all that kind of, and those elements of like self-care. And so I'm kind of curious, being somebody who is so, and for anybody who doesn't, you know, we'll make sure to plug everything that Midday Squares is doing and your socials and everything. You are a high octane individual. It is go, whether it's for the business, whether it's for yourself. Like there's like, I feel like if you were a car, there is no like red line. It's just kind of like, it just sits on like the right side. And so when you're going and you're moving at this velocity, you know, what does your self-care look like on the day-to-day? Because and the one thing that I love about your content and who you are, and granted, I've only seen it through social media, and I'm feel very fortunate to sit down and have this chat today, but it seems like you're very vulnerable and open about the ups and downs throughout all of it. But I am curious about what that, you know, journey of taking care of yourself looks like when you are going so fast.
So yeah, I was going way fast, man. Like this is my fifth year in this business, 10 year of entrepreneurship. This one's obviously like a rapid growth one. So like, it's a lot of like different movement stresses, all that stuff. But I was going so quick that like, it was almost reckless. To the point where I didn't know who I was. I was just going for the sake of going, the hype, the energy, the momentum. It was just pushing me. And then I lost track of my identity and I lost track of who I was. Even the people I cared about, I was kind of like ignoring, like not hanging out with. I was coming home exhausted to my, you know, at the time it was my fiance or girlfriend. And now it's obviously my wife, but I was coming and I wasn't giving her attention. And I was like, I was irritable. I was just like, I would go out there every day, give this 100% energy, maybe 200% energy, energize people, fire them up, get all this media attention, this hype, this momentum. And then I'd come home and I would try to replenish that by just getting to bed and going at it again and just nonstop. So unhealthy eating habits. I was working out like crazy in bad form physically because body's been compensating for a long time. And yeah, I burnt out. I had a 3 months ago or 4 months ago, I had a real burnout. It all just cut, the house of cards just, the injury tipped it and then the house of cards just fell. And I went through like a deep depression and deep realization that I'm not identified by the things that the material or the hype and all the energy, the media, the all that jazz. I'm defined by, I really believe that no matter if I was able to dance or not dance, I make people feel a certain way deeply inside. And understanding that was huge. Understanding that I don't need to be the trumpets coming out and the whole shenanigans to make people feel something, that I myself am able to do that because that's my superpowers inside of me. It's not what it looks like, right? And anyways, I burnt out, did therapy for 36 days, I think straight, or 35 days straight. I can't remember the exact date. And I did hours. And what I did was, I took a sabbatical off work and I wanted to just learn who I was and get back what I love doing, you know, like stopping to do things for other people, but do it for myself. And I'm still not perfect, but I've come back, you know, pretty good. Like I'm back to like 80%, 75.
Hear that.
Yeah. I was at like 5%, man. Like, so like it was a journey, and trust me, it's like people thought I was the happiest guy. Oh, you have everything to be happy for. You know, you own a company, you have an amazing brand, you have amazing people around you, friends, family, health. But it just doesn't work like that. When you feel lost, everything around you seems like it doesn't even make a difference, right? So yeah, that was a hard journey. So I my self-care routine now is different. Now I read every morning. I'm not so hard on myself to go do 150 things. I'll do 10 things. You know, when I travel, I try not to pack it as much. I was doing 5 crazy days in a row. Now I do 2, you know, so I've learned to listen to my body more from the physical and the mental side. And I know when I'm going more in that direction now of danger, and I basically slow down as soon as that happens. It's an immediate slowdown. And that's the big part.
Yeah. And I was just going to say, I mean, like, let's go back to the car analogy. It's kind of that idea of staying in your sweet spot, but then also when you, I've been through periods of burnout in my own life. And one thing that I reflecting on after the fact was looking at the signs along the way, the road signs, and being like, fuck, that would suck for anybody else, not for this guy. And then just like, you know, keep on going at exactly what you are. And I'm curious what maybe those red flags possibly looked like for you when you were approaching that point in your life where you're like, shit, I'm almost, my body's going to make me take a break because I just can't go, I can't go at like this anymore.
So physical pain, like back pain, was definitely like, you know, one, you know, feeling exhausted, like physically exhausted, and then being irritable with people that I care about and not having enough energy or interest to want to communicate with those people. So these are the red flags. Like I would go home to like my family at a dinner table on a Friday night and just wouldn't talk. Like I would listen or I'd fight. Right. And I'd pick a topic, maybe like politics or whatever. And I would go hard, and that's not who I am. So I start to realize I'm being somebody that I'm not, and I'm not prioritizing. All I'm prioritizing is that journey of craziness and wildness and hype and momentum and energy rather than what actually really does matter. And now I'm kind of more aware. So I have that more, that awareness is way deeper, but I'm not perfect at it. I still get caught into that, those problems. But I could see the flags a lot more clear now, I guess, than I was before.
I love that. What's your relationship like with energy? Because it feels like it's a big part of who you are, but with it being a big part of who you are, I find that that relationship can get complicated. And so I would really love to know, because, you know, what's going through my mind is the idea that you know that your superpower is taking that cord that's plugged into your back and walking into a room and plugging it in, and the place goes, it's electric. The place goes up. But at the same time, that's your battery. And so that energy starts to deplete. And then, but every morning it's picking it up and still picking that cord up and going, and every individual, every room, whatever it may be, plugging in. And I guess it kind of comes down to like both what's your relationship energy and why? Why keep picking up the cord?
So this is a great deep question and I love it. Very important. So I think my relationship to energy is simply, as a kid, I was the class clown. I was that because I couldn't fit in academically. I was very, I was poor academically in the sense that I wasn't good. I didn't get good grades. I couldn't even write or read properly. And I tried, but like, it just wasn't working. So what I did was became the Energizer Bunny or the class clown. And everyone loved me for that, right? And they're like, this guy's hilarious, this guy's cool. But yet when it came to graduating, I was only the one not gonna graduate. And that was the moment I kind of said, screw this, I'm going to be somebody else. I'm going to follow the herd now, figure out my academics, get the grades to get me to pass, and focus less on being that Energizer Bunny. Then throughout college, I was focused on grades and academia, not who I was. Like, there was no authenticity. I was doing it to show everybody this, I could be like you. I can get a job, an investment job. I could do it. But I struggled so bad. Like internally, it felt like jail. And then finally, in my third year, I realized, screw this. I was watching Shark Tank and I watched a guy on screen and I was like, hey, this guy looks free. Even though he has two mortgages on his house, he has kids, he has all these responsibilities. I'm 21 years old and I have no responsibility and I'm sulking like a baby. So I basically said, screw it. I'm done with following the rules that everyone else follows or that society kind of pushes you to. And I started being me and I started doing entrepreneurship again. And I started to become that Energizer Bunny slowly, where people start to give me back that love, that attention, that energy. And where it got very dangerous was I was truly being myself and having fun, but I became obsessive with getting the external validation that it wasn't academia. This was now, hey, you're cool. I look up to you. I'm inspired by you. And that's all I cared about. And that translated all the way into year four of Midday Squares, which was last year, where I had the burnout. And that was the collapse of the identity, because it made me realize that I'm doing everything for external, even though it's me. Like, I love energy. I love momentum. It gives me like a high. The high wasn't because I was loving the high. The high was coming because I wanted to show everyone that I could do this and that I could do this superpower, which people have labeled on me. And I felt like I needed to meet those expectations. Now I'm re-going at it, but I'm going at it from a different place. The place is now it's who Jake is. Jake Carls is me, but it's who I am and why am I doing this is the question every single time. And if the why doesn't equal that I'm doing it because I want to, or that I'm doing it because I don't care what somebody thinks, then I shouldn't do it. And that's changed my entire outlook. And I'm still hyping people up, but it's now coming from a place of the replenishment of energy is natural because it's not trying to get external sources to give me that energy, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the relationship. It was a dangerous relationship for like 18 years.
Yeah, well, I mean, external validation in every sense of the word is always going to be a killer, right? It doesn't matter. If you're making a chocolate bar and at the end of the day, you're like, God, I friggin' hate this thing. This is just awful. It's probably not going to be a great chocolate bar. If I'm doing a podcast and I'm like, fuck, I hate every time I put the mic in front of my face, but everybody else tells me I'm so good at podcasting, it's not a marathon that you can run kind of thing.
You eventually collapse.
Absolutely. Jake, I want to talk a little bit about the thing that originally drew me, and what I really love about this conversation so much and everything that you're doing is that when we had bumped into each other at Collision and my boss at LOI, Melissa Allen, was like, hey, Jake, meet this guy. And it was like, hey, man, what's going on? And vice versa. What she had said was she knew that I had, you know, we've talked at length about this project, mental health podcast that I have. And she was like, oh, that's Jake from Midday Squares. And that company is super like mental health forward. They like do therapy sessions as a family of co-owners. And that just like ticked this box in my head where I was like, that itself is a really cool story I want to get into. And so I would really love to hear about how Midday Squares really embraced mental health in their day-to-day business operations.
Yeah, I love that. So first of all, thank you to Melissa.
Huge shout out to Melissa.
And thanks Collision, hence the no pun intended, we collided.
Yeah, honestly, yeah.
Yeah, serendipity. But okay, so therapy was something, okay, it's in the core values of Midday Squares, and I'm going to get to why. But before we even started the business, my sister, my brother-in-law said to me, if you want to join as the third partner, you need to come to a therapy session, multiple therapy sessions every week, once a week with us. And we got to sit through them and have hard conversations, work on each other, understand each other, mm-hmm. and become better people. Right. And I looked at them as if they were like not normal. I was like,
yeah, right.
Yeah. I was at them, are you kidding? And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, I'm happy as nails. I'm on fire. Right. I play competitive sports. I was in a fraternity. I'm like, I don't need that therapy. That's like weak.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And they looked at me dead serious and like, well, then you can't join as the third partner if you don't commit to this. And I was like, you're going to throw this all away for a dumb therapy session. That's exactly what I said. Mm. And they're like, yeah. And they said this because they've been using therapy for a long time for their own relationship, but also their previous partnerships. They wish they had them in their previous partnerships in business. And then I said, you know what? If that's the case, I'll do five sessions total. And after that, if I don't like it, I'm done. And I went and I sat through the first session with no open mind. I was miserable. The second session, I opened up a little bit more. The third, a little bit more. The fourth, my mind was actually free. And I started to realize that this is actually a place where I feel safe. I feel like I could be me with no judgment. I feel like I can actually express hard things that I might feel afraid to express, you know, in a different setting. And then my goal was to learn to have these conversations outside of here, to equip myself with tools where I can become a better listener, a better communicator, understand empathy at its deepest level and why it's so important. And then kind of learn a way to understand different perspectives. So framing what other people are going through by not just coming up with rebuttals or, you know, like, hey, like judgment, but it's like, hey, how can I see this different than the way I see it and kind of then compare it and work through it. And now I'm a huge advocate of therapy because I feel like I've become a better individual, a better partner in my relationships, a better friend, a better leader. So I realized that all this, the hours and hours and hours and days of therapy that I continue to do and commit to, it's a sign of commitment to becoming a better person every day. Hmm. And if I do that, then by the time I die, I should be a really good person,
right?
Good
person, yeah. It's a lot of compounded days in a row.
I should be a saint. No, but when I catch myself going to my old ways of like that type of mentality, I go back to therapy and I say, hey, I call my therapist. I'm like, yo, can we talk? And the reason being is I realized that I'm here to put my front foot forward every day, even if it's little things, little tiny things. And if I know that I'm committing to making myself a better person, and understanding how others feel and how important feelings and emotions can be, and the art of that communication, then I'm at an advantage. So therapy is the bedrock of Midday Squares. Without it, we're not here today as partners, because we would have killed each other. We're family. We have past history. There's complexion. There's complex relationships. They're married. And I think that I wish it would be more affordable for others. You know, like for us, we invest a lot of money from our company into this, but I wish this could be accessible to everybody in the world. And maybe one day we'll work on that.
Absolutely.
But it's a powerful thing as long as you are open-minded to it.
Yes.
And you are willing to put the work in. Mm-hmm.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
No, therapy, it's, therapy came into my life at a time where, like, I say that therapy saved my life sometimes, because it, you know, I didn't start a mental health podcast because I was a happy-go-lucky kid, and I started a mental health podcast because I, like, felt like I had something to say about the world of mental health, and therapy was tremendous, and I think that the thing that you said that stands out to me, and it's so beautiful, is just, like, I felt safe in this space, and it's amazing how long you can go through life without really experiencing what it's like to feel safe as an individual, where it's like on the day-to-day there might be these expectations, external whatever it may be, but then you carve out this 1 hour of time, or whatever it may be, 30 minutes, who knows, and you go into a space and you're like, wow, I feel safe. I feel like I can actually say the things that are unspeakable in other areas. Now, so I want to commend you on that for sure. The relationships that do exist within Midday Squares, I am, as an outsider looking in, I am curious, because when I think about trying to put myself in your shoes and say, like, you know, knowing my relationship with my sister, which I would say is a really good one, and, you know, she's got a partner as well, and I'm like, not only running a company with these people, but also sitting in on a therapy session once per week, or how often are you guys doing therapy as a...
Right now, our therapist is off, so we haven't seen him in, like, a month, but starting season again, let's call it August, till whatever, June or May, it's usually once a week.
Okay, so once a week, like... That's the thing, is I kind of think, I'm like, I wonder what that would be like. But now, I mean, you're here. So what's that like?
It was difficult. Yeah. You definitely hear things that are uncomfortable. That's what makes a relationship more powerful. And I think that, you know, my sister and brother-in-law are people I both love dearly outside of business. And I love them in business as well. But in year two of the business, they were going through a very rough patch in their marriage, extremely rough, to the point where they were this close to divorce. And that would have not only damaged the company, but it would have damaged my sister, my brother-in-law, their relationship, everything. Like, so I would sit through the therapy and watch them on the comeback. So, and the reason why I did that was because I wanted to understand. I wanted to see where they were at. I wanted to understand where both their minds were, how they were both feeling, in an unbiased, as much unbiased as I can have. And what that did was it helped me get in their minds. It helped me get in their heads and understand what's going on, what's actually going on. And because I'm there, I could also give my opinion in a safe zone where it doesn't come off as, oh, I'm choosing one side or the other, but I'm working through a moderator, let's call it, a therapist, helping me guide this conversation where maybe they can't see what I see because I'm an outsider technically, but still an insider within their life, right? So I think that, like I said, these therapy sessions are a way for deep communication that might be very uncomfortable to have. And it allows for this no judgment zone, or where we know that we're here because we all want to work on getting better and we're aligned on doing that. So when you know that, when the context is there, you start to realize that we can actually solve problems together here. We can actually go through hard conversations, work through them, get deep, and actually come out with an outcome. And that's the power of it. Because otherwise, you get into an argument with somebody. Sometimes you just say, oh, yeah, I'm sorry, and that's it, and it's over with. But that's not actually coming to a real solution. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of the time people just, they just want it to end because they're uncomfortable. But if you have, if you're put in focus in the zone and you know that you guys are both wanting to get somewhere from it, with professional help, you're guided, right? You're guided from an unbiased opinion. And I think that that's super powerful, that you can't just replicate outside of therapy. Maybe you can get really good at it, but I don't think you could ever replicate the perfection of it.
Yeah, absolutely. That being around for the comeback, this is just, you know, this is just a an offhanded thought. Do you think that being around for the comeback, you know, and seeing that, you know, it gave you a certain perspective that going into your own new marriage that you're like, wow, I'm kind of like glad that I saw, you know, this go down, because now I have a bit of a glimpse behind the glass of like navigating the rough patches that can come with any relationship.
Oh, 100%, man. Yeah. Like I think that, you know, I've had my fair share of problems as well in our relationship, because being an entrepreneur, I think it's really important to share this, is being an entrepreneur with somebody that's not an entrepreneur is very difficult for the non-entrepreneur as well. And here's why. The lonely journey of entrepreneurship creates this mental state that a lot of entrepreneurs actually go through. It's like, again, feeling judged, misunderstood, lonely at times, exhilarated to the time, like you feel the best in the world. So you go through these crazy emotional swings, but your partner's there with you, but they're not involved necessarily in the business, but they're there with you. And I think that it was hard for us because I was always out of town. I traveled a lot last year. I did 140 flights out of town. I was crazy. And, you know, and then I would come home exhausted, so I couldn't have a conversation. So guess what? What does that do to a relationship? It damaged it. It shows that there's problems, right? And the problems were that the priority was, again, back to that external source of getting that energy rather than what's internal and actually it really matters. And I had to learn that. And even in therapy, I would sit through deep therapy alone without my partners to just go over my relationship. How can I become better at this? Because either it's going to all collapse. And once that my personal life collapses, that's when your business collapses as well, because it's very hard to get out of that frame. Right. Mm. And I just, this year I took it into deep control and we started working deeply through it. And I started to really see myself as a big wrench in our relationship due to my ability not to understand what's going on and just go. Mm. I was in a treadmill. I needed to step back and say, what the fuck? And when I did that, I saw a whole new world. It was crazy. And again, I wouldn't have done that unless I had therapy. So like it comes back to perspective, helping with perspective.
Absolutely. And hey, perspective's a beautiful thing regardless. I think that idea of being in a fixed mindset, it's not going to help you with anything. It's kind of like the golden rule. Jake, I'm curious, and this is, you know, I feel like now I'm, you know, asking this question from somebody who's working with young entrepreneurs, with the League of Innovators, and you've done so many amazing things and your energy and your approach to entrepreneurship. And I think not only your approach to entrepreneurship now, but how it's evolved over time, I think I feel like it's a masterclass in being flexible in your own, you know, experiences and being like, hey, maybe I'm wrong in this situation. I'm going to think about this a different way. I'm going to go about this a different way, especially it sounds like over the past, you know, couple months. And I'm curious, this not being your first venture, going back to when you first started entrepreneurship in general, you know, and then up until now, lessons learned, like what kind of advice do you like to give to young entrepreneurs when you're like, hey, you're going to make your own mistakes and you're going to grow from them. But if there's one mistake that I made that I can tell you about so that you don't have to go through it, what would you say that is?
I think expecting people that love you and care about you around you, your close friends, childhood friends, family members, to understand what you're going through. Is super important to know that they just don't. And the reason why they don't is because they're not in it 24/7 with you. They're not experiencing the journey that you are on. They're watching it. They're trying to help you, But I would get angry. I would get so angry, and so much energy would go into, why isn't that person saying congratulations to me? Or why isn't that person love me, trying to be there for me? You know why? Because they're not in it with you right away, right? So they, how can they know? You have to be the one to actually walk them through that if you want them to actually understand and experience it with you. Expecting it is a problem. And that's when I realized that my expectation was here and reality was there. So the gap was extremely dangerous, mentally dangerous. So what I did was I balanced them by understanding what their reality was, not blaming them for it because there's nothing wrong with it, but helping them get to understand my reality. And if they didn't, then that's totally fine. But then at least compartmentalize and know that, right? And I have friends for different reasons. I have friends that I call now for specific moments that I feel unbelievable on top of the world. And I know that they could jam with me and feel that with me. Or I have friends that I call for just partying and going to have a laugh.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But you can't just get angry at all these people. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs go through it. They start cutting people out because of the people make them feel. But the people aren't doing that purposely. That's just because you're not on this. You're not getting your expectations to your reality. Mm-hmm. And that's a you problem, not a them problem. Mm-hmm. And that's what I realized. And I worked on that. And now I'm flying with my friendships again. Even though I'm going through the same amount of stress and anxiety and pressure in business, my relationships are actually, they're balanced. I feel closer to them.
That's beautiful. Do you feel like the storytelling element of Midday Squares and what you do helped with that? Because it did give people a little bit of a look behind the glass where they were like, oh, that's what Jake's up to.
Yeah, I think it helped us with people that don't know me, which is actually interesting. So I feel like, you know, people that don't know me that like really well, they would reach out like, oh, this is so cool. Or like, I'm here for you if you need anything. But my close friends, it's like this thing close to home type of thing where it's like, it's hard to see somebody in that dynamic where like you have really massive, crazy wins, but then you also go through extremely dangerous lows. And you kind of watch someone go through that close to you. It's a mind fuck a little bit. Right. And so that's where like, I would like ignore my friends because I was like, yo, they don't get it. They're not understanding that I have to work on Saturday night. And they're just texting me saying like, where are you? Aren't you coming? And I would just be like, fuck you. Like get angry. Because it was a me problem. It wasn't a them problem. So I had to work on that. I think a lot of entrepreneurs that I talk to go through something similar at one point throughout their journey. I always remember like this, it's a choice that we're on this journey. You remember that. It's not, there's no gun to your head or anything. Like I choose to build Midday Squares. Mm-hmm. I could stop it at any moment. Obviously there'll be repercussions in certain things, but it's still a choice at the end of the day. So, you know, like trying to do that is, again, trying to expect from everybody things doesn't mean that they're going through the same thing or understand what you're going through. Mm-hmm. And then the last thing I would say is stop comparing yourself to people, you know, like,
yes. Yeah. Oh, my comparison is the thief of joy. Tell it to every entrepreneur who walks through the door.
Joy.
Yeah.
I was comparing myself early on to getting awards. I wanted all these awards and all these people were getting awards and I would start putting them down. But I realized that's not who I am. I actually like to uplift people. So I'm fired up when someone gets an award. I'm actually inspired. And yet I was feeling the opposite. So I realized that was the danger zone too, where I was in. That kind of brought me to invest a lot more into that therapy and understanding what's going on.
Mm-hmm. What's the draw to storytelling? Because you seem like you just like, through your content and through chatting with you, it definitely seems like you have an appreciation for telling a story. And I'm kind of curious why storytelling just seems to have this pull with you. I mean, Midday Squares is chief rainmaker, like, you know, part of the storytelling of all of this is like, it's the brainchild of, you know, the work that you've done. So, you know, what is it about stories, man?
Storytelling is so engraved in human nature. And I think that when you understand it, the power of it, for good or bad, by the way, it could go either way. But if it's good, then you could make people feel something very deeply through storytelling. And when you make someone feel very deeply, it actually creates action or a decision-making process. And, you know, if you make someone feel sad, happy, you're going to get something. You're going to get something out of that. And what I realized was my whole life is a story. And if I just share it, maybe I can inspire people to take that initiative to be more themselves. Because when I realized that I can no longer do the whole game of being somebody else, freedom came. Even though I was in a struggling zone, I felt this like immense amount of just like a cage broke out. And I wish that I could show that through my actions to others or how I make them feel. And that's why I go speak every week on conferences and, you know, TV, podcast, radio, to go give this message, because at the end of the day, that's really what I'm here to do. Like, Midday Scores is great. You know, we're hopefully gonna build a $1 billion business in the short period of time. But the kicker is not the $1 billion part. The kicker is that we will have done that by remaining true and unapologetically ourselves. And that means that you could break the mold by just being you. And I think that if we can encourage that next generation or older generation to take a little bit more steps to being bold in themselves, then that story that we tell actually changed and progressed the world in some way. Didn't progress the way necessarily in sustainability, but this is a different type of sustainability. This is a way to make humans understand themselves and be more inspired about themselves and fired up about them. And if they do that, their superpowers will start to come out. But our society doesn't teach that, so, or show that. So that's my mission.
I love that. Where's your favorite place to tell a story?
Wow. On a stage. I like old school, like in person on stage. I think I was in New York the other day I did two keynotes in 2 days and two different conferences. And I went on this stage on one of the days. I was tired. I was really tired because I did like 10 meetings that day. And I got on the stage and the exhaustion just left. It was gone. And I felt so alive again. And I felt so fired up. I felt so motivated. And I just delivered. Hands were flying. I was yelling. I was screaming. I was jumping at times. The pain wasn't bothering me. And I was just like, shit, that's me. That's where I thrive. And now I try to put myself, obviously I'm running a business too, but I got to put myself more and more in those scenarios because that's where my wings really go full throttle outwards.
Mm-hmm. One of the questions, actually, this just came up, but one of the questions that I get asked by a lot of young entrepreneurs is they want to step into a bit more of that high energy role, but they crave it, they desire it, they want to be that person who can go in and fire a crowd up, but it just doesn't quite feel right yet. And I would love to know, does that bring up for you that maybe that's just not them, or is it there are things that they can do to like really embrace the energy of the room or can uplift people? I'm curious what your thoughts are on that.
I think that you could always learn how to, you know, public speak, fire people up. But I think that to keep doing it, scaling it and consistently doing it, it needs to be innate in you because you got to love it. Like, you know, I think I want things a lot of the time, and I then try and I actually don't, and it's inauthentic. It feels uncomfortable, it feels weird, cringe. And other people feel that way when I do that too. And I'm just like, okay, I'm done with that. That's not me. But I think that we as entrepreneurs feel like we need to be that, because that's how you build fans. That's how you get people excited. But there's also other ways to do it. And if it makes sense to do it in another way where it's more authentic to you, you're going to thrive a lot more doing that than doing it what I'm doing on the stages. I believe I'm meant for that lifestyle. Mm-hmm. That's like who I am. I feel like I want to be a rock star. You know, like that's what I'm dreaming of as a kid. Also, I've always wanted that. So at the end of the day, like, I think you need to just find what's authentic to you. And then whatever that is, play that strategy at 150%. Screw the other one. Screw the stage. You don't need it. You don't need to be, you don't need to have a stage and a hype to build a very successful, you know, business organization. It's not a necessary thing. It's just, this is another strategy that we're taking and it's working for us because it's real to us.
Being the person who can go in and elevate people and having that being your superpower, one of the things that I get messages from listeners about is that element of authenticity and having that relationship where they struggle with really embracing themselves, and they vocalize that and they say, you know, it's tough on the day to day to feel like I might not be worth it, or I don't feel like what I do is contributing, I don't feel like I matter, all of these things. And I would really love if you know, there's something that's coming up for you that you'd love to share with them about authenticity and embracing themselves in their entirety.
Yeah. So I think that this is a big thing today where we got to figure out as a society how to get better at it. But long story short, your authenticity is just who you are. And I know it sounds so vague, but I think that if you try a lot of things every day, you'll feel what really fits. Your gut will tell you what is good and what's not. And I would say follow where your gut takes you. Your gut is like your second brain. It's almost like it knows what's going on. It's the weirdest thing. It's a feeling that you feel. I just think if you follow that feeling all the time and you're not scared to put yourself in zones that are really uncomfortable, then you're going to find your authenticity. and you're going to strive. You're going to kill it. Your superpower is going to come out. But if you're just in a bubble and you don't want to leave that bubble, that zone of comfort, and you don't want to feel you don't want to trust your gut, even though it might seem wrong, then you have no chance of finding it, because you might need to do some things to figure it out. It's not just going to come to you. You got to go experience and feel what you go through when you're going through it. You'll know when it's your authenticity. You'll know what feels good, and you'll know what you're amazing at, because it will feel like nothing you felt before.
I love what you just said about your gut being your second brain, because that's my big red flag. When I know that I'm approaching a place where I'm like, I don't want to go there, dude, my fucking gut is just like ripped apart. I'm nauseous all the time. Everything is just so thrown off. So it is amazing how much just like listening to your body, you're like, oh wow, yeah. For some reason, you know, feel like absolute ass for the past 4 days. Maybe I should take a fucking load off.
100%.
Yeah, man. What's the thing that you would say, you know, if we were to have this chat a year from now, you know, what is the thing that we didn't talk about today that you hope we would talk about a year from now?
I think discussing the tools to work through burnout. Mm. Also how to truly prevent it. You know, because burnout, it's different for everybody, obviously, but Absolutely. It can affect you from having a month off to taking, it can affect you for your life, actually, mm-hmm. the burnout.
Yeah.
It actually has a real effect. Like there's a real consequence. Some people obviously bounce back right away, but some people don't bounce back ever. So I think that preventative methods, and then also when you don't get the preventive methods and you're actually there, what are you doing to get back or to bounce back in life?
Yeah. What did you do apart from therapy? You know, therapy aside, what would you say?
I had to be alone. I had to process my thoughts. I never did that. I think, you know, putting myself in those uncomfortable, you know, like I was fearful of being alone. Right. Mm. And, you know, actually being alone and being in that ugly, uncomfortable feeling made me process a lot. And made me like walk through things that I never walked through. And that was really like liberating, I guess, is the word. And it kind of stepped me up to find a figure my way that I could go through this and I will get through it. Mm-hmm. But it was uncomfortable. It was weird. It was cringe. It was scary. And I'm still scared a little bit of being alone, but I try.
Yeah. What more can you do?
You can't. You got to try. Human life is all about trying, like, continue to step forward slightly, a little bit. Compounds.
Baby steps. Yeah, absolutely, for sure. I listened to an interview that you did with Mark Champagne, and you know, shout out to Mark. Really cool podcast. I've listened to a few after your episode there, and it was one of those things where I think he had asked you at one point about like, does it really kind of hit about, you know, you went from selling in 14 stores or whatever I can't remember the exact numbers that he'd used, but he basically quantified how fast Midday Squares has grown and how much work that you've all done. And something that stood out was, you know, I could hear for like the gratitude, but what's your relationship with accomplishment? Is that something that being a fast moving company and reaching these milestones, do you have time to sit back and smell the roses and be like, holy shit, these are some like really amazing small wins that have added up to big ones?
I think at the beginning, yeah. Mm-hmm. First 2 years, and then no, I don't. Mm-hmm. It's hard to feel them, man. Like I try, like, you know, but the problem is like something always comes up, you know, something gets in the way, and you know, like you don't feel like it's enough. That's the problem. Mm. And yeah, like I used to be fine with it. We used to celebrate, we used to dance, fun, kill it, cakes, the whole nine yards for little things. And then now we don't do that as much. And I wish we did. But I feel like the lesson that I need to learn, because I'm not there yet, is not to chase more and more and more, but like experience more and more and more, and whatever comes will come. But the experience is really the idea of winning. That's winning.
Wow. I think that the desire to experience more is really beautiful. I think I actually listened to a gentleman the other day. I think his name is Steven Jackson, and the Sick Boy podcast, who's a great podcast out here in Halifax. Would highly recommend checking them out. They're doing some amazing things. They invited me to go to a night of grief and mystery with Stephen Jackson. And we went to this old church and we sat there in the pews, and this older gentleman who, his career was really interesting, went to Harvard Divinity School. He was a social worker for a lot of years, and he was around so much death, and he kind of became known as like the death guy, and he would talk about it, he'd write about it, he'd perform about it, all of these things. And one of the things he talked about was the idea of just existing being enough, and the fact of taking in every day and how beautiful that is, and how it doesn't matter what age you are. And some people start to lose that over time of just, wow, you walk outside and you're like, look at how beautiful the wind looks through the leaves. And then you just carry on your way instead of putting your head down to the pavement and being like, I have to go to my next meeting right now. And just kind of breaking from that mold of just boop, 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 one thing to the next. And that idea of experiencing more, I think is really amazing.
It's powerful.
It is. It absolutely is. What's the thing, I think with, you know, piggybacking a little bit off the accomplishment stuff, dude, like, what's the thing that you're most proud of?
I think I'm most proud of that. Like, I actually believe in myself now.
Oh, beautiful.
Like, I actually truly, like, I'm not so worried about what others think. Mm. I don't really care much about, like, I believe what I'm saying. I believe that I'm able to do what I'm supposed to be doing. I used to not. So this was a big accomplishment. And you see my work change this moment I start to realize this. It was a big change up, which was really cool.
When did you start to realize it?
Year three of the business.
Cool.
Took 3 years for me to realize and trust myself and kind of like go through like hard moments, amazing moments, and then kind of figure out that I actually know what I'm doing. Like, I don't know everything. I'm no expert. But what I am is I do think that I'm worth something. And I do think that I do have some superpowers that I think are unique to me.
Yeah, I would say the superpower of introspection, man. It seems like you've done a lot of work on yourself, man. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, and that's an infinite loop, though. So absolutely. That will consistently, every day I hope to learn more and more and more, but we'll see. There's days where I learn nothing, days I go backwards a little bit. But like I said, I really try to put the front foot forward, small steps every day. Really try.
I can appreciate a man that builds from a place of acknowledgement, who takes the time and the courage to build from a place of pain, but to do so in a way that brings people along for the ride and builds them up in the process. Jake exemplifies that you can win by just being yourself. And I think that that is a beautiful reminder, not just for entrepreneurs, but for anyone who is working towards their goals. I highly recommend following along Jake's journey through connecting with him on social media. Make sure to follow him on Instagram at JakeCarls_. That's Jake, spelled J-A-K-E, Carls, K-A-R-L-S_. And I'll have the rest of his socials linked in the description, as well as Midday Square's socials in the description of this episode as well. While you're checking out all the amazing stuff that Jake and his family and the team are putting out there into the universe, make sure to check us out as well over at Life's Rec Podcast. I hope this chat has inspired you to continue to celebrate the world of mental health and start some conversations in your own life, but the beautiful wrecks that we all are. And remember that embracing the wreck means embracing the things that make us us. It's celebrating the tough times that we grew through and all of the wonderful uniqueness that we all bring to this world. Authenticity is just the wave, people. I'm telling you. So just remember that through all of it, the highs and lows, the ups, the downs, the good days and the bad days, that life's a wreck, that we are wrecks. And I'll see you in a few weeks.
It's a wreck.
Hold up. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.